Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
They're not going to replace, ladies and gentlemen, the Everly Brothers or the Beatles in doing that, but I like to think that all our players, Rich Dolan, Bryce Abel, Chris O'Brien, but not me, because
but this,
what are you going to do, Gene? We all work better alone.
Yeah, we're all alone. What are you going to do? I've never heard you do that stinger.
You're right, and you never will. We're talking about the book After Disclosure, trying to phrase or talk about the possible impact if we learn that E.T. is here and the governments disclose it, or if events are such that they have to disclose because they are dragged kicking and screaming. And we've been answering some of your questions. But I want to throw this one out here, and that is the statement that maybe disclosure has already happened. What about gradual disclosure? Year after year, we hear there are potentially millions of inhabited worlds out there with some form of life. We have one of the moons of Saturn has primitive life, and Mars, and maybe the moon. So it doesn't take much of a stretch to say, okay, we have advanced alien races. Another stretch, they're coming here. What about gradual disclosure happening over decades? We wake up one day and we know what's going on, but we don't look at the path that got us there.
That's about right. I mean, gradual disclosure, in a sense, is a symptom of the technological development that we are showing as a society. We have greater and greater abilities now to perform studies of the rest of the universe, for example, and to figure out how many Earth-like planets there may be in all of this. So all of this is part of the process. All of it is basically a ground up. Bryce was talking about this earlier, pushing up from the bottom. This is us, the people. And it's going to get to a point at some, whether it's this year, next year, 10 years from now, there will reach a point where this includes reality of the UFO phenomenon itself. It's going to force those people who are our official guys at the top of the human heap to have to make an acknowledgement, and that's disclosure. Mm-hmm. I would like to, let me just mention one thing here, because I hope we get some time to talk about some of the real issues post-disclosure, because, I mean, all of this is fascinating, talking about how it can happen and so on. But there are some major themes. You've got the social ramifications. You've got the whole energy paradigm, which is critical. You've got major geopolitical ramifications. You've got changes in religion and science as a result of all of this. And, you know, all of these are issues that Bryce and I tried to tackle as best we could when we wrote this.
Changes in culture, et cetera. I just want to wrap up your gradual disclosure thing, though.
Sure.
I find that that argument is a lot similar to the one that I hear because I work in Hollywood as the storyteller, where people say, oh, well, Hollywood's been being used to prepare us for disclosure. I don't necessarily believe in any of those, and certainly not now. I would imagine that if in 1947 it had landed on my desk to keep this thing quiet while we got a handle on it, I bet most of the people in 47 figured they'd be lucky if they could keep this under wraps for 5 and maybe 10 years at the outset. The idea that denial and ridicule, the twin pillars of secrecy, would have worked so astonishingly well for 6 to 7 decades probably would have blown everybody away. I don't see any evidence of gradual disclosure. What we have is a gradual deepening of the public's interest in the topic of actual UFO ET reality and how that might impact disclosure. But there is a giant gap between real disclosure and believing that there's a lot of planets out there that could support life. I give you the one example, which is Carl Sagan, who I find to be a very odd duck in the whole science and ufology field, because here is a man famous for saying the universe was absolutely teeming with life, and yet at the same time he took the position, but it couldn't possibly be here. And why could it not possibly be here? Because the distances are too vast. It would be impossible. And yet, Sagan is the same guy that said any civilization would probably be 1,000 or 1,000,000 years in advance of us. So I would presume they would have better science and technology. There's just a whole lot of things that don't quite add up in a gradual disclosure thing. I think the people that have this are holding their cards as tight as they can for as long as they can. They probably have a backup plan for when they think that the whole thing's going south on them. and that's when we'll get what amounts to some kind of public disclosure, and not before.
Okay, let's look at other potential things that might be impacted. Certainly the energy industry. Suddenly overnight we learn that oil, natural gas, even solar energy is just so primitive. These aliens have something that makes them all look like, you know, really ancient, useless technology. You throw out these industries overnight. Of course, they'd want to keep the secret, wouldn't they?
Sure they would. Sure they would. And
figure out a way to put a meter on it.
Right. Well, this is a real problem. I mean, a 10-year-old kid can probably realize that whatever these objects use to get around, it's not petroleum, it's not gasoline, or even jet fuel. You know, if you can loiter indefinitely and silently and then instantly accelerate and do sharp angle turns, you're doing something way beyond our current aerodynamics and energy paradigm. And how long is it going? Even if we don't really know exactly at the moment of disclosure what these other beings are using, do you really think it's going to be that long before we figure it out? There have been all kinds of alternative energy explorations that people have talked about. There's a lot of suspicion that some of this stuff has been suppressed. Wouldn't shock me in the least if that would have been the case.
You mean like the car that can do 200 miles a gallon?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I think so. When you're talking about alternate energy sources, something that's not petroleum, petroleum's been the dominant industry, at least one of the top handful of dominant industries of the last 150 years. Our entire world is essentially based on petroleum for its infrastructure. We would have a hard time existing without it. And what if we were to discover that there's something now that's better than this multi-trillion-dollar industry that employs so much of the globe? Even under the best of circumstances, all right, transition is not necessarily going to be the easiest thing. There's going to be a lot of blowback and resistance to that. And there's going to be a lot of deep unhappiness among those elite groups that have probably, look, the people who are managing the UFO secret are very likely deeply tied into the petroleum industry as well. So this is not a win scenario for them. And if they can't find a way to meter this new energy, let's say it's something like zero-point energy, let's just say. Maybe that's the case. And you create a device, you meter the zero-point energy field? Well, maybe they'll find a way to do that. Maybe they will. But, you know, switching over from one form of energy fundamentally to another, I think humanity needs to do that. I think we all realize we can't continue on our path using fossil fuels and expect to be in a really good place in another couple hundred years.
But, of course, there's also active political movements out there that want to make us believe that we have all of the oil we need for centuries. We just have to use all sorts of crazy methods like fracking to get in there and get that oil out. Bleed us dry.
Exactly. But even if we do that, that's still really finite because it's not just supply, it's demand. If this were 1950, then we would have enough oil easy to last for several centuries on 1950 levels of consumption. But you've got not 3 billion, but 7 plus billion people in the world. You've got China, you've got India. They all want to drive their SUVs now. You've got everyone in the world wants to drive a car, and we're just sucking this stuff down. I don't care how much you have in the ground. If you keep wanting to double your energy output every human generation, then it's like that old Chinese parable of the doubling of the rice. You know, at a certain point, you're going to have more demand of energy than is possible.
Now, the other question would be here then, all right, so the oil industry is kaput, unless they find ways, as Chris says, to meter it. The people who make the cars, will they just figure, well, if it's a new propulsion system, we'll just design vehicles to work with it?
Sure, maybe.
Not everything is kaput. There's transitions. All changes in human history have a transition zone. There was a period of transition from coal to oil. There's always a transition, and there will be another transition here. In fact, one of the clocks, if there is a clock on disclosure, might very well be the availability of oil and people's plans as to whether fracking is going to do the job or not do the job. You know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that we are not privy to yet.
So if there is an ultimate goal here, it might be we will disclose, barring outside developments we can't control, when we are ready to receive that information because of various and sundry different things we can talk about. Bryce Abel, Rich Dolan, the book is After Disclosure. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast with Rich Dolan and Bryce Abel. Chris, any more questions, or have we covered all the subjects there?
Yeah, there are, but I've got one here. I recently was involved in a project called Dialogues, the Disclosure Dialogues, which is a DVD project that Rich was an integral part in, one of the featured experts that we had in dialogue in this piece. And one of the, I think, most fascinating conversations that I had the pleasure of editing was, Rich, you and Danny Sheehan talking. And, of course, Danny Sheehan, for our new listeners, is a really interesting guy. He He's a top-notch lawyer from the Harvard Law School. He also has, a degree in the divinities. He was the chief counsel for the Jesuits for many years and helped argue the Pentagon Papers case in his 20s in front of the Supreme Court. This guy is a real mover and shaker. He's one of the few people that I know that actually was allowed to see the secret portion of Project Blue Book. But one of the things that really struck me, Rich, about your conversation with Danny was the way you guys addressed the whole religious issue and how the religious question may not be as much of a sticking point in the disclosure equation as most people kind of assume that it is. Why don't you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of that conversation that you had with Danny, and do mention what you came up with in the end, because I think this is covered in your book, and I think this is a very, very important and relevant issue.
Yeah, well, that's funny. I love, and I think I am so highly of him. I almost can't remember anything I said in that conversation, to be perfectly candid with you, but I do know what my thoughts are regarding religion and disclosure, so hopefully what I'll say now will be consistent with whatever I said during that discussion, which I think was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
And then understand, Rich, it doesn't have to be, because people are free to change their minds. It's not like the political world where you make one sentence that's slightly off and they'll beat you down for it.
Oh, thank God. Well, yeah, I can't.
So you've changed your mind. That's okay.
Danny changed your mind about the whole religious issue, and his idea of coming up with a grassroots movement, I think, really changed your thinking. And I've heard that change in your thinking in this interview.
Oh, well, okay then. Yes, absolutely. You know, the one thing that I would have to say about religion is that there's no one religion. So you've got, when you're talking about disclosure, when you're talking about extraterrestrials or these other beings, because maybe they're really not extraterrestrial in the way that we imagine that. I don't know. Nobody knows. But whatever they are, they're not us. So various different religions on planet Earth are going to look at this phenomenon in very different ways. All right. You've got, in the U.S., let's look at the Christian denominations first. You've got basically liberal and conservative variations of Christianity. You know, back in the olden days, we used to say Protestant and Catholic, but that's really not the relevant breakdown. It's more like liberal and conservative. So you've got evangelical groups in the U.S., and, you know, that's one side. And many of them, and this is not a matter of speculation, you go out and ask evangelicals their attitude about this, and they'll tell you that there's a strong tendency to interpret the UFO phenomenon as demonic in one form or another, or Luciferian. They can quote you relevant passages of the Bible to show this. Many passages in Paul, certain passages in Revelations. And then on the other side, very, let's say, liberal types of belief systems, and particularly when you get into like New Age belief systems, you've got a very opposite way of looking at the ET UFO phenomenon in many cases, where they're going to look at this as a very positive event in which these other beings are going to help humanity move to its next level of development, whether typically spiritually. No bridge long enough to bridge that gap.
Okay, but here's the other problem which might come up. What if ET says, you know what, just like your ancient astronauts, we're the ancient astronauts, we seeded you 20,000 years ago, whatever. We did genetic engineering. You weren't created by God. You were created by us. It doesn't mean they don't believe in a God, but they are our creator.
That's not so much a religious issue as a great example of why there still may not be disclosure at this point. If that was true, I could see people arguing to keep it under wraps a little bit longer. But the one thing I just want to throw in about religion, what Rich and I found out is, most people, when they discuss disclosure and religion, their first statement is, well, the reason they can't disclose is the religions would freak out. But that's not what research has shown. Most people who are religious, when interviewed about how they would respond to an extraterrestrial revelation, take it pretty much in stride in large numbers and basically shrug their shoulders and say it's a large universe, God's in charge of the whole thing, and why wouldn't he make other people? The people who say that religion would freak out over disclosure, ironically, turn out to be, in a vast majority, atheists. It's the agnostics and the atheists who think that religious people will freak out, but the religious people themselves say they won't. And as Rich pointed out, on the evangelical front, it's evangelicals who seem to know more about ufology than most ufologists. They know everything about Mantell and Betty and Barney Hill and things like that. They just attributed it all to demonology.
I think in the short term, I agree with this that you know, the religions are not going to collapse, and we talked about the development of new religions as a result of this. I would think, though, in the long term, let's say 2 to 3 to 4 generations out post-disclosure, that probably all of the Western, the desert sky god religions, as I sometimes think of them, basically Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, all of these are very possibly going to be affected by the advent of other beings that are here. You know, change doesn't always happen among people. It happens among generations.
Yep.
You know, maybe not you and me, but our kids, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are going to, they'll be living in an environment that's very, very different than what we can imagine. And if those kids who grow up in a post-disclosure world, it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to look at the fairy tale style religious belief systems that, you know, most people in the Western tradition have grown up in, that they're just going to be able to take that as seriously in a post-disclosure
world. They're not. In fact, by the way, Gene, can we talk culture for a few minutes here?
Sure, go ahead. This is certainly leads to that, yes.
Because the whole religious thing is part of our culture, and so it kind of leads us into this other thing. When Rich and I were having that year-long ongoing debate about, well, what do you think about this? Do you think it might go this way, that way? We struggled with the concept of the culture and how the culture would be affected by a disclosure revelation. And the best analogy we could come up with would be that in AD world, an after disclosure world, that is going to be the 1960s with technology. That if you think about what happened in the 60s, two things radicalized people and made the 60s what they were. It was the assassination of John F. Kennedy and the idea that maybe we didn't know everything we thought we knew, and that our leaders could tell lies and conspiracies could exist, followed by Vietnam, which had its own radicalizing influence. And we kind of think disclosure is JFK and Vietnam rolled into one, and will give us kind of a society that comes unhinged a little bit at the beginning and then reassembles itself over probably a period of a decade or so to sort of take into account all these new ideas and new thoughts. So we could potentially, those of us who lived through disclosure, say to ourselves, boy, that was the most rock and roll decade I've ever seen. Because
I hope I live to see this. We have Rich Dolan. We have Bryce Zabel with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven 3-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best tasting food you can buy. To celebrate the beginning of summer, you can save 20% off their already affordable prices. This offer ends on June 20th, so take advantage of the summer savings now. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best or less guaranteed.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan. AD After Disclosure is the book with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. We're talking about the cultural interactions, the response, what's going to happen to organized religion, to the oil industry, everything like that. But what if we learn that maybe E.T. isn't so friendly towards us? We're kind of thinking of E.T. either being agnostic towards us, we're just here and they're just trying to figure out what we are, or maybe they had some impact into our civilization early on in terms of genetic engineering. But what if they don't wish us well?
A certain
famous scientist has suggested.
Right. Hawking speaks for me on that one. I think it's entirely possible that there's a – well, you know, one of the things you do when you write a screenplay, you try to have the characters have a marketplace of ideas. There's different characters who look at the same situation from different points of view, and that's what gives you the drama and the conflict. There's nothing that has been revealed other than people's good wishes that everything be sweetness and light. There may be far more than one particular type of others who have been visiting us. There may be some that are neutral, some that are positive, and some that are negative. I would just remind everybody that technology alone doesn't guarantee that anybody is particularly good. The Nazis had the best technology. They weren't good. We have great technology now. We're a mixed bag. We may be in a fight right now, a secret fight that we're unaware of, or we may be holding one at bay. There may be all kinds of reasons why the people who manage the secret have maintained it all these years. And, you know, I don't think either Rich or I take the position that disclosure must happen simply because these evil people have kept it from us. We don't really know what their motivations are entirely. I think what Rich and I have come to the conclusion of, and this is sort of how we conclude our book, is it doesn't really matter what the truth is. After 6 or 7 decades, it's time for us to hear it, and we'll simply have to handle it, whatever it is. So I think your point and Hawking's point, very well taken. It could be a very mixed bag.
That one of the points that we made, if I can add here, is that it's very possible, very likely, that at the moment of disclosure, that really all of the answers are not out on the table. And in fact, the president and his or her people around the president may not really know the answers as well. Those secret keepers may not have a complete handle on the motivations of these other beings, if there's one group or multiple groups. And so what we may be in for is a very unsatisfying situation where we have enough knowledge to know and to prove that there are other beings here, but not necessarily enough knowledge to know all about their motivations to be able to bring one gray alien and put him on the podium with the president. So there's very likely, a very good chance that there's going to be generations worth of debate and argument about these beings. So disclosure, it's not going to be the end of debates on this. It's the beginning of a new fight for truth, really, which, a new child of understanding.
Which, Rich, by the way, that is completely dovetails into our 1960s with technology analogy. If you think about it again, we're saying disclosure is the analogy for Vietnam and JFK, but what's the after disclosure part of it? Well, what happened? We saw this giant Watergate conspiracy. What did you know and when did you know it? Gene, one of the things that we are very big on is that the system doesn't immediately change itself. It just looks at this really major, interesting, phenomenally compelling situation through the prism of its old ways. So, yeah, there will be congressional investigations. There might even be troop commissions like there were in South Africa trying to get to the bottom of this. It's quite possible that what Rich said is actually the way it will go down, that not everything will be dumped out as a full disclosure. It's not like they're going to send us all hard drives full of photos and videos and documents. They'll probably peel it out a little bit at a time. So when you talk about gradual disclosure, there may be gradual pre-disclosure, but there may be gradual post-disclosure as well.
What about the possibility here that we've had interactions with them and that this disclosure process is part of that interaction?
Yeah. There have been rumors and leaks for more than 50, 60 years that there have been meetings, going right back to the infamous leak or rumor about Eisenhower in 1954 meeting with ETs. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. Of course it's possible. So if there has been collusion and communication in some way, this is certainly going to be on the table for discussion.
Well, certainly congressmen would say you're traitors because you're colluding with this other race.
Some would
colluding
say
with the aliens. That's not proper.
Some would say that, and some would undoubtedly offer a defense of that.
Yeah. I don't think it would go either way necessarily. It depends on what they're talking about. And also, there's so many assumptions that are embedded in a lot of these issues. And the answer goes back to, well, it depends. When you say, are we talking to them? Well, do you talk to the others the way that we're having this conversation where it's a give and take? Don't know. They may have a different way of speaking to themselves and to us, whether it's psychic or verbal. Who knows? We don't know about some of those things. And the other thing is we have a hard time talking to humans and figuring out if they're telling the truth to us or not. And quite often they're not. I mean, I was a CNN correspondent and an investigative reporter in another lifetime, and all I can say is I've been lied to by experts, people that will look you in the eye and tell you a whopper of a story that's just plain not true, and they almost could pass a lie detector test on it because they believe it so much. So who's to say that an alien intelligence has the same concept of what truth is as we do, or that if they did have the same concept, that they would choose to follow that concept. So we're in for a brave new world here.
And, of course, it could be a prime directive. You know, we joke about that with Star Trek. But they have certain edicts that they follow as to what they tell a more primitive race. What can they say about themselves?
Yes, it would be very difficult for us if we time-traveled back 1,000 years. Think about this. We've run into the most intelligent group of humans on planet Earth circa year 1,000. What could we really tell them about our world today without their heads exploding? Realistically, you could only say so much. And these other beings, if they're benign, could still have to be, they might be very limited and what they feel that they can tell us for the same reasons.
I mean, the thing that I think both Richard and I have experienced through different ways, I mean, Rich has been writing about this in a nonfiction way longer than I have, and I've been doing it from the fictional point of view prior to this. But both of us have encountered, because of what we've done, people who are credible witnesses who have come up and told us incredible stories And many of those stories have buried in them or on the surface of them seem a little disconcerting, that the ultimate reality behind the story from this credible witness is that things could be a little troubling and that there it's not a perfect situation at all. And honestly, that's what I kind of come down to in my own personal beliefs. And again, that I have nothing better than my own experience and interpretations. But it sure sounds to me like it's a vastly more complex problem than one group of ETs has come here to study the planet. I don't think that's what's happened.
It could be ourselves from the future. It could be a parallel universe. It could be some kind of cultural conditioning to accept new realities. We don't know what the answer is, and we're all speculating, aren't we?
Well, each of us, Bryce and I, we've come across our own stories, our own people who've given us some very chilling and I would even say upsetting stories about, you know, the reality of this and the whole secrecy scenario around it, which we did include at various points in AD. The basic idea of high-level government people being deeply upset over what they apparently learned relating to this topic. You know, we both come across these types of stories.
You have to ask, one of the things that we talk about in the book is, if you back in my news days, every newscast had to answer the question, are you safe? If it was a national newscast, that would be, are we at war? If it was a local newscast, is there a rapist loose in a particular community? Are you safe? Well, the same is true of this issue. Are we safe? That's what we want to know from disclosure. In order to figure out if we're safe, we need to know a couple of answers to a couple of very vexing questions. The first is, who are they? Because we're not sure of that yet. And then the second and most important one is, what do they want?
And we'll know more about what our sponsors want. First, with Rich Dolan, Bryce Abel, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com. Sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com. Spelled DeseretFoodStore.com. Foodstore.com or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Going on now, Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again. With up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at BePrepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally, freeze-dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry, now through June 30th. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Don't forget, neighbors, you can also find us on Twitter. That's where we are. We are the Paracast on Twitter. So send us a tweet if you have some comments to make about the show. This discussion has just flown by. I mean, we just sit here and say disclosure, we can go on for another 12 hours, and that's why Rich Dolan and Bryce Abel will be back, even without the Austrian accent.
Here.
Yes. Chris, we have any more questions from our audience before we go on?
Well, we do, and it kind of dovetails nicely with the comment that you just made in the last segment, Gene, about the true nature of these non-human entities. And I always go back to the interesting Terrence McKenna quote. He says, are we dealing with another tenant in the building? I mean, where do you guys come down on the possibility that we're dealing with something that's as terrestrial as we are? It just is couching itself as being something off planet. How much of a possibility do you see for a scenario like that being the case? Mm-hmm.
One of our chapters specifically addresses this type of an issue. Who are they? What are they? There's all of these types of possibilities. You've got the obvious one that people have talked about for years, the extraterrestrial possibility, which does still, even today, have a certain amount of logic to it. But you've got other reasons to think that there are other types of solutions. Are they a homegrown type of intelligence? This is certainly a possibility. Are they an ancient kind of broken away civilization, a group of humans that somehow discovered a secret that enabled them to break away and to move ahead of the rest of us poor slobs who weren't in on the fast track, and they are now in appearance as extraterrestrials or as gods, that type of thing.
Although if we have to vote, I would say I see less evidence and anecdotal stories that would lead me to believe that they were another tenant in the building. I think they're somebody who's come to visit our building.
I tend to agree with Bryce on this, but there are these other possibilities. And then you have the question of dimensions. Undoubtedly, right. Terrence McKenna would be particularly interested in that. Are these entities that inhabit some other dimension of reality, whatever that means? Because really, when you hear people talking about dimensions, it's almost never in a truly scientific way. We just say, oh, yeah, there's another dimension. Well, maybe there is another dimension, and maybe there are entities that inhabit that. That's certainly another possibility.
Okay, well, we do have some questions, but we pretty much covered everything at the questions. A lot of it is just people commenting, really. Let's see. Hold on.
Well, I would like to just throw something out there if I could. One of the things that we tried to do in the book that I think is different is we ask ourselves if we could end it differently. And so what we attempted to do is we sort of brought closure to all the things that we have discussed in this book is tried to say, okay, there's three interest groups here. There's those of us here on planet Earth who want to know more. There are the others who are visiting us from somewhere. And then there's the people who have been managing the secrets. And all of these people, all of these groups have different interests. And yet we all come together under the umbrella of disclosure. So in our final chapter, we actually look forward to and speak directly to these groups about what they need to do to manage this transition most effectively. And I think the one thing that we certainly are strongly of a belief by writing this book is that we are in a transition. This age that we're living in now is going to be looked at by people in the future as they look back and say, that was the moment where the switch got flipped from BC before confirmation to AD after disclosure. That's why we picked the title, because we honestly believe that this version of AD is probably more important than the previous version of what AD meant, and that these different groups need to be talked about, and we need to come together, and we need to find common cause. And so to the others, we simply say, it's time. It's over. You know, whatever you're here for, let us know. To the secret keepers, we say, you had 70 years to deal with this. How about now getting off that position and bringing all of us in on it? And to everyone else, we just say, get yourselves ready, because hold on, it's coming.
That's right. That's right. And actually, if I can just add one other really important theme to our book, and I know this is as important to Bryce as it is to me, is in our next to last chapter, which we called Exopolitics Rising. You know, you think about the political, both national and international ramifications of disclosure. I don't know if any of us really can see this whole thing because it's just so big. But obviously, it's going to be a major, major part of any historical writing about this period. You know, 100 years from now, when they look back, people will be dealing and looking at this global political transformation. And one of our motivations in writing this book is to show that, I mean, there are a couple of paths here that the world can go in a post-disclosure world. One of those paths would be like a global police state, a fascist state. We'd be fools to say that this is not possible. After all, you're a government or a clique. You're looking at this phenomenon and you're seeing it very possibly spin out of control. And there's going to have to be a temptation to create a kind of police state to keep everyone under as tight control as possible.
And it's already happening.
Well, exactly. Exactly. But here's the thing. Here's the other side of it. Okay. Think of the Arab Spring. Think of the Occupy movement, and then multiply it by many, many factors, because that's what is going to happen in a post-disclosure scenario. So it's not all going to be on one side. You're going to have a lot of millions and millions and millions of very, very angry people. Whack and Hut Security might be able to stop 10 people from breaking into Area 51. Can they stop a million? I don't know. We're going to be in a situation where political leaders around the world are going to have to make a decision. And they're going to have to decide, essentially, where am I coming down on this? Am I going to side with those groups and powers that essentially put me into this office, that is the controlling group that's behind every major political leader in the world? Or am I going to take a stand on the side of the people? Am I going to do the right thing, or am I going to do what maybe is more politically natural to me? And no one knows the answer to that. But this is going to be an important decision that will be made. And one of the things that we would like to think is that it will be possible to take the high road, not the low road, not the dark road. That, in other words, for political leaders to have courage and to say, we are going, A, to shine light on the culture of runaway secrecy, which has hitherto dominated this topic. We can do it. We can create formalized structures globally that allow people truly to have a democratic publicly kind of open and shared system in which people do have a voice, that it doesn't have to be a system of fascism that takes over. There can be a better way. And this was something that really we both spent a lot of effort on in really the final lengthy chapter of the book.
Now, the book is called, we're just about out of time, let me just do the wrap. The book is AD, After Disclosure. There's a new edition available now, and there's a site that you have devoted to the subject, which you can tell us about quickly, Rich.
Yeah, afterdisclosure.com. It's a blog site that Bryce and I have had running for a while. We've got a lot of articles up there that he has written, that I've written, and also that guest authors have also written for us. It's a very active and, I would say, a very vibrant and varied type of site.
We even have an even more active Facebook page that currently has 3,800 people on it. That's at facebook.com/afterdisclosure. And that's where the dialogue with people is happening. We encourage people to drop by there as well.
We also encourage people who would like to see the Dark Skies TV show be reborn as a movie or another TV series. Where do you go for that, Bryce?
Well, I'll tell you, Dark Skies was and is an ongoing debate about disclosure, whether the people have a right to know or the people can't handle the truth. And you can join that campaign by giving your Facebook love or like to facebook.com/darkskiesUFO.
And I've already done that. And we all love Chris O'Brien's site, which is OurStrangePlanet.com, very close to the debut of the new version. Right, Chris?
Correct. It should be the week prior to this broadcast.
And by the way, folks, if you want to get in touch with us on Facebook, there is an official Paracast fan club. On Twitter, we are the Paracast. Our forum, where you can post questions in the question bank, forum.theparacast.com. Rich Dolan, Bryce Zabel, thank you both for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks very much, Gene. It was a pleasure, as always.
Gene, we just want to leave by saying we're contact optimists, and we wish for the best.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.